For this he must go down into the pit for bringing the light into the abyss. He can't do it by remaining in his highest realm. That's why the avatar has to assume a human body. Here in one line, Shobindu is also revealing to us the secret of avatarhood. If it is just to bring some great revolutions or simply to, you know, open a way for people to walk through that, the avatar or the supreme can do it through vibhutis and great masters, etc., etc. He doesn't have to take a human body. But he takes a human body so that he can enter into its body's alleys blind, as it's there in God's labor. So that he can use the body as a means to enter into the pit of darkness from where this highest flower has come up so far. It's like entering through the flower, through the stamen, right down into the roots. This is an actual story like that. Stories about Brahma. They are very interesting stories. Who wants to know his own origin? The thing is, to know his own origin, he could have just, you know, gone up and expanded. But he does something else. Well, he's seated on a flower. So he goes inside the flower. Very amazing story. So it's, you know. Anyways. For this he must go down into the pit. For this he must invade the dolorous vast, imperishable and wise and infinite. He still must travel hell, the world to save. This answers those questions that people have. Why did mother fall sick? Why did Shobindu have a fracture? Those silly questions. I mean, he's God, so he shouldn't have fallen. He's God, so he shouldn't be sick. His God should come here and just show some series of miracles, dazzling, brilliant miracles, and then depart so that everybody says, ah, this was miraculous. He doesn't come for that. He doesn't care. The mother says, even if there is not a single person and the avatar is shut inside his room, he will still do the work for which he has come. This is the work he comes to do. So even though he is imperishable, he is wise, still he must travel into the hell. And when he travels into the hell, the opposition is real and the dangers are real. Then where will he reach? How far he will travel? And there we see the secret. Into the eternal night he shall emerge. By which route? Very often people say that, you know, the Vedic Rishis, some of them had gone to the overmind and seen the supermind, though from a distance. Now all that is very nice. But discovering the supermind at that end is not enough. So Shobindu goes down into the darkness and discovers the supermind concealed behind the mask of inconscient. That's the real thing about this yoga. And that's why we see that the root mother also takes. Satyavan must die. Must be. She chases death right into his lair. And changes him step by step and step by step. And there at the end, when the mask is slain, what emerges out of that? Or who emerges? She sees the same one who is there, Virat, who lights the stars like his watchfires at night. Hiranyagarbh, the author of sleep and dreams. The golden being who is there, she finds he is there behind death also. Now this is the root, and at a practical level, the mother says, for each one of us, she says it is an arrangement, and she gives that image of the serpent chasing its tail. So the mouth is closest that way to the tail, it's serpent chasing this tail. So she says each one of us is given a difficulty which is like a shadow. It's a lot of mother's letters on that, Shobindu's letters on that. And that shadow is our doorway through which we end up discovering. Now, it doesn't mean we try finding the shadow and say, where I should plunge into the shadow. No, shadow is there. We have to grow towards light. A day will come when this growing light will show us, because when we are rooted in that, it will show us that. Then we have to keep calling the light. We don't have to look for the shadow because that is the shortcut. No, but it will come in the path. We have to do the same thing, keep surrendering to the mother and open to her light and love. But as we open to the light and love, we go into it and she will come with us. She will come with us, come with us. And then a time comes when the shadow vanishes, parts, and we discover this supermind which is at the other end. And when these two join, then the work is done. It's not the same as seeing the supermind standing on the intuitive mind or on the overmind. Yes, there are seers who speak about it. Yajnavalk speaks about Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasapihitam Mukham Tattvam Pushanna Pavranu Satya Dharmaya Drishte. It's obviously about the supramental son. He wants to know the law of truth. It's one thing to know the law of truth. It's another to establish the law of truth upon world. Then you have to go into the base, become the bridge on this side and the other side. So, into the eternal light he shall emerge, going through this passage. And there is a, you know, so many places Shubhendu has described the supermind. This is another description. On borders of the meeting of all worlds. At one place it's described as where all the worlds and rays of the sun meet together like the veni, like the choti. What is it called? Which women, girls have. Okay. The braid or something. And like that, all the worlds, they look different in different, but there they meet. And what happens when they meet there? The mother once said that, you know, it's where the darkness and light unite. Evil and good unites. Then she realized that, you know, these children will not understand. So they will indiscriminately combine good and evil and say, this is the union. She says, no, but evil changes itself completely when it reaches that point. So here we have that. There on the verge of nature's summit steps, the secret law of each thing is fulfilled. All contraries heal their long dissidence. There meet and clasp the eternal opposites. Evil and good meet there. Good changes into the eternal good. And evil discards its crooked shape and recovers its original truth. So we have these Purvadevas who have plunged from the light into the darkness, revolting against the law. And then they have to be brought back to the fold. So every one of us carries that little shadow inside us. And one has to go through it. If somebody doesn't know about it and sees shadow only in others, that means one has not really stepped into the real yoga. This is the real yoga, not just having nice, beautiful experiences, becoming another holy man. It's all right, good to be holy. But as Sri Aurobindo says, I went to a place full of holy men and I got bored there. God sent me to a prison and there I discovered God. So this is another indication. So it doesn't mean we have to become unholy. So, you know, all these mental language has this problem. So evil changes in that state. Their pain becomes a violent, fiery joy. Then we say, ah, Mother Kali, your heart is full of love. Before that, she is terrible, Kali Karali. She is destroying. But Devi says she is destroying what needs to be destroyed. And after destroying, it's restored into its original truth. So pain becomes a violent, fiery joy. Pain is actually an inability to bear excessive of joy, even at human physical level. Excess of stimulus leads to pain. Try tickling somebody. Initially it's nice, after a while he's laughing, after a while, please stop it. If you don't stop, the person will actually have tears and say, I'm very uncomfortable, please stop it. Tickling gives joy. And tickling, if it continues, our body cannot bear beyond a intensity. Caress is nice, slap is bad. It's the same thing, it's a touch. But see, the same intensity changes into something else. So their pain becomes a violent, fiery joy. Evil turns back to its original good. It's a distortion of something else. See, when Ravana says, I want to conquer the three worlds. Yes, it is true. We are not meant to be the slaves of these forces. We are meant to be a victor, but not the way of Ravana. There is a truth in what he is saying, but there is an error in the path that he has taken. That's what Shobhinda will reveal to us a few lines below. And sorrow lies upon the breast of bliss. She has learned to weep glad tears of happiness. We have a prayer of the mother which reveals this beautifully. Suddenly before thee my pride fell and I wept the sweetest tears of my life. And then somebody asked her, is it some personal event? She said, no, it has nothing to do with anything personal. Nothing personal about it. All her personal things she had removed from the diary. It is something else. It is a change of sorrow, the man of sorrows, that consciousness that loves to be in despair. That's how she could heal us. That's why her smile had that power, that we go there and it changes our sorrow instantly into joy. It soothes comfort because she had healed it. So there, sorrow lies upon the breast of bliss. She has learned to weep glad tears of happiness. This is the real cure for all suffering and evil at a practical level. To lie down, put one's head in mother's lap and forget everything else. Her caress changes our sorrow into bliss. Practical experience of many, many persons. Because that power is there. She has released and realized that power within her being. That's why it's possible. But we always look for some other shoulder to cry. And very soon we discover this shoulder on which we cried has become another shoulder, another cause of pain. So we look for yet another shoulder to cry and it goes on. Her gaze is charged with a wistful. She has learned to weep glad tears of happiness. Her gaze is charged with a wistful ecstasy. Then shall be ended here the law of pain. This is the remedy. Earth shall be made a home of heaven's light. A seer, heaven-born, shall lodge in human breasts. The superconscient beam shall touch men's eyes and the truth-conscious world come down to earth, invading matter with the spirit's ray. Awaking its silence to immortal thoughts, awaking the dumb heart to the living word. This mortal life shall house eternity's bliss, the body's self-taste immortality. And we see this whole journey of the mother in the agenda. Goes through this stifling passage, narrow, on the verge of death. And eventually, she passes to the other side. It's an amazing experience. 1962, she describes about it. Then she says, it's the song of all the cells sing the song of victory. For that is done. And then she goes through deeper and deeper into those experiences. Through the body's alleys, she goes deeper. Superminded descended. But she must go to the deepest pit and call it there. So this is the path. Then shall the world redeemer's task be done. So his task is not just to start another school of thought. Sri Aurobindo's school of philosophy. Situating Sri Aurobindo. Where is Sri Aurobindo among the galaxy of seers? Can't. He's everywhere. Nowhere. Somewhere. But most importantly, he's here. So this is. So what should we do? Is there a job left for us? He will do it. And he'll do it in his own time. So what is to be done by us? Till then must life carry its seed of death. Don't cry, complain, crib. You have to wait. So mother gave two words. Endure and have faith. Patience and courage. It will take time. No shortcut. Shobhinda says it's no easy or shortcut sadhana like French without tears. It takes time. It may take 100 years, 200, 300, 1000, God knows how many years. We are in it. Let's stick to it. Endure. Whatever comes our way, she will take us through. Because this is the radical solution. We are so lucky and fortunate that for once we have a real ray of hope for earth, not just for individual mukti. And then she will carry us. We are in the ship. Doesn't matter. In the ship, it will go through nice experiences, some terrible moments, all right. But she is the pilot. So not to worry. Enjoy the scenery. Sometime we'll have like Odysseus travels, those demons, six-headed, one-eyed cyclopes. It's okay. Sometime the song of the sirens, which will make us mad. Okay. But don't get down of the ship. That's dangerous. Stay in the ship. So till then, must life carry its seed of death and sorrow's plaint be heard in the slow night. It won't be possible to have quick fix remedies for everything. So sorrow's plaint will be heard in the night. Till the day comes, that's how it'll be. Because earth has to absorb this. This whole thing has to change. So what do we do? Oh mortal, bear this great world's law of pain. This is the command for us. Bear, bear, bear. At last thou shalt find the road to bliss. So first thing is to bear. You have to bear. There will be pain. Shobindu has not assured us that from now on, the fact that you have become an ashramite and you are eating dining room food, you will not fall ill ever. You'll fall ill. That's why this nursing home, it's like old age, we have Desiree and care. That these things will come. Doesn't matter. They should not distract us or frighten us. They're part of the journey. Turmoils will come individually, collectively. It doesn't matter. But we are now on the ship. It will go through. O mortal, bear this great world's law of pain in thy hard passage through a suffering world. This is a hard passage for everybody. Lean for thy soul's support on heaven's strength. So whenever there is difficulty, problem, challenges, there will be many sickness, errors, dangers. Place yourself at mother's feet, preferably in her lap. Say, mother, this is yours. Lean for thy soul's support on heaven's strength. It's available. Samadhi is there, vibrating, pulsating with that supramental vibration. And for those who are blessed with faith, the mother is here. If nothing else, to read Savitri. To trust her presence. Lean for thy soul's support on heaven's strength. What else can we do? Turn towards high truth. Aspire to love and peace. Our yoga is summarized in 3-4 lines. The Lord's yoga is all that time going into the pit, dolorous, vast, bring that light. This is not human effort. To believe that one can do it is to delude oneself. Our yoga is very simple. Lean for thy soul's support on heaven's strength. Turn towards high truth. Don't take the line of falsehood. Aspire to love and peace. These are the powers. Unity, love, peace, light, harmony. These are the things we should aspire. Small little things. Not much is left in our hands, thankfully. Little bit is left. Our yoga, summarized in 6 lines. A little bliss is lent thee from above. Time to time you will have some nice glimpses. A touch divine upon the human, thy human days. You'll say, something very beautiful happens, you know. Mother came in my lovely dream or vision, or I felt a touch. Oh, something wonderful happened, you know. I was just thinking of it and it happened. Mother's ways. Plenty such touches will come. Touch divine. It's not the transformation. It's all right. But this is what prepares us. These little touches prepare us for the great event. First, we have to see whether we are ready for the touches. Then comes the little more. Then we start saying, what happened to your love? It's a blow. That's a little more extensive love. That's a deeper love. At one stroke, shattering all that is dark and obscure inside us. But first the touch, a little bliss, a touch divine upon thy human days. Make of thy daily way pilgrimage. It reminds us of that beautiful Ishupanishad. Kurvanne vihe karmani jiji visheshatang sama. Evam tvai nanyan. This is the path of works. What is the path of works? Here is revealing. Karma. Karma need not be a bondage. Karma is bondage if we are in ignorance. It doesn't matter what consequence it brings, it's a bondage. It may be fortunate circumstances or less fortunate, but it's a bondage. But there is a way to do karma which makes it an evolutionary movement. And it is to make of our daily way a pilgrimage. Not somewhere in Himalayan trek and somewhere else. Every day, small little events of life can become one more step on the journey. The mother says that win your little victories. We are not asked to do some great things. Little victories. Some little problem. Maybe anger issue. Maybe greed. Maybe something else. It's mother has given us like monkeys in Ramayana. Small little work. Pick up the log of wood. You also do something. So monkey is asking, what shall we do? Your arrows are enough. Okay, you scream and shout. That is also a work. So monkeys are engaged. Rama doesn't depend on the monkeys for his victory. But monkeys are blessed because they can participate in the change. So there is this, our role. Make of thy daily way a pilgrimage. For through small joys and griefs thou movest towards God. This is the real, original, thodi khushi, thoda gum. Not the fake one. This is the original. When there is little happiness, we can move towards God. How? Mother, thank you for this happiness, mother. You are so full of mercy and kindness. So loving. When there is little grief, mother, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to progress, mother. You have shown me a defect of mine through that idiot who shouted at me and insulted me. But mother, basically he's right. You spoke through his lips, I'm sure. You made me more conscious. Thank you, mother. Momentarily I felt bad. Mother, thank you for this little harsh touch. It has woken me up. Out of my sweet nightmare. You know, there are two kinds of nightmare. One nightmare which are, we know our nightmare, we want to escape. Then there are sweet nightmares. We love it. We are enjoying the dream and somebody wakes us up. Oh, why did you wake me up? It was such a nice dream. Because we have to get real. So this is real. Thank you, mother, for taking away the nightmare. Or the sweetmare, whatever it is. I don't know what is the other term. Daymare. So we wake up. So this is a grief through small joys. Depending on our attitude, these small things will open the path. And the mother says this, it is not the big things which test us and open the journey. Because we are very conscious. Big things we are conscious. Oh, I should be like this. When we are meditating, we are very conscious of the thoughts which are going to come and we want to keep them away. When we are going to Sri Aurobindo's room, we are conscious. But we are going to hotel and somebody passes a casual remark. That's where you have to catch yourself. Conscious. You don't like the food. Conscious. That's when we are not conscious because we have gone into the den of falsehood. And the greed of the palate is overtaken. All our preferences are dancing around us. And God is also there. So he has to do his trick. Since we have not called him, he has come uninvited, sitting next to us on the chair. So he pushes the waiter here and there, nudges him and says, see, he's my fellow, just little bit. And we lose our shirt. Why is the bill so much? No, we have to see the bill, but without, we can do it without getting angry. These are the small griefs and joys. And through this, the path opens. It's not through big deeds. The divine does not want us to do big deeds, small things. Every monkey cannot cross Lanka. Only Hanuman could do it. But for us, there is also the bridge on which we can walk and put the little sand into the ocean. So this is one path. In the ancient Puranas, there is a path of the gods and the path of the titans. And the path of the gods is longer. That's the original story of Ravana and who was this other fellow, Kumbhakarna or Meghnad, whoever. So these were originally the gatekeepers of Lord Vishnu, Jay and Vijay. And they get into pride. After all, we are special people, elite. Who is better than us? We have come finally to destination Pondicherry, right with the divine. Who can be greater or better than us? Ordinary mortals coming from far off? What do they know about yoga? We are the real fellows. So they also felt this pride. One day, of all the fellows, Sage Durvasa or one of these angry sages is going through. And they say, stop, show me your pass. He says, what? You don't know how you should behave? At the door of God, you are behaving like this? Go into the worlds of darkness. Now they suddenly are, they go to Lord Vishnu, please help us. He says, well, you people have been misbehaving. You have misbehaved even with Lakshmi. You asked even her for her gate pass and credentials. Is she really Divine Mother? She is a French after all. So you guys, you know, actually should have been long back. But you have to go. Experience that other life. Okay, but won't you save us? Yes, I will. You are my guy. So you will carry my stamp. But I'll give you a choice. Three lives, the path of the titan. Seven lives, the path of the gods. What do you choose? Say three lives. So they become titans. Now it's surprising that why titans are given a shortcut. It's a path of denuding all the nature and eventually the soul goes and goes back. The seven lives is the path of the gods, the path of perfection. It takes much longer. So we have, I guess, and I'm sure we have chosen the path of the gods. So it'll take long. We have to bear. So this is the path of the gods. Summarized in 7-8 lines. But this is the path of the titan. Sri Aurobindo is repeatedly cautioning us, don't take that path. So this is where human beings are the meeting point of God's work, where he is working in us, in the inconscient, but we have to be careful of one thing. Haste not towards Godhead on a dangerous road. Open not thy doorways to a nameless power. Climb not to Godhead by the titan's road. What is that path? Ego. Ego opens the door. And it has many masks, wonderful masks. I am mother's instrument. Who else but me? Mother is feeling amused that I have to say this. Sri Krishna has told Arjuna that, look, if you don't want to fight, don't fight. I don't care. I'll still do it. I'm giving an opportunity. And still, even now, we think I'm mother's instrument. It's nothing but ego. Ego will open the doors to nameless power. I am somebody special. Mother has special love for me. All these are very many ways. It'll come, right? Using the divine name. And we will not know which way we have gone. So, nameless power. This is the titan's road. This is what we see in the Mahadev, no? He keeps saying, Jarasand, Lohitang, I am Mahadev's son, special. I should be like Kartike. Ganesha, you should give me the first place. I am the one who deserves to get a very special place, power, position, etc. This is the path of the titan. So he wants that. Against the law, he pits his single will. There is a way that the divine will change things. It's not as simple as a magic wand. But he wants it done his way. My way or no way. Across its way, he throws his pride of might. Why can't I do it? I am a great tapaswin by his own efforts. Heavenward he clambers on a stair of storms, aspiring to live near the deathless sun. He too is seeking the supermind. But his path is a path of perverse tapasya. This is a true tapasya. This is tapasya, to hold back oneself, when one is feeling angry. This is tapasya. But normally we don't understand tapasya in this way. Somebody sitting in meditation, stiff bolt and things like that. Or somebody becoming harsh, shunning things, sleeping on bricks. That is asurik tapasya. It's not a good path. And he will point towards that. But through that, he wants somehow to pull that power. And mother repeatedly cautioned, don't pull, don't pull. You'll be blown off. It's a slow process. He strives with a giant strength to wrest by force from life and nature the immortal's right. It takes by storm the world and fate and heaven. Already there are people. I'm not speaking of here, world over. Oh, now the supramental force is there. We don't need Mother and Sri Aurobindo. They are old. All their writings are already old. Even Gita is not yet over. Sri Aurobindo and the mother have not yet started. Oh, they are old. Now supramental force is there. Any which way, anybody, any T, D and H, anywhere. He has to just plug in and pull it and he'll be supramentalized. This is happening. It's a dangerous titan's path. Well, each one can try it. The titans never heard. He comes not to the high world maker seat. So what is the right way? This is the titan's way. By force, by pulling. Not through surrender. That's why Sri Aurobindo cautions at the end of the mother. It is the mother's power and not any human tapasya, however great, that can rend the veil. So what is the other way? He comes not to the high world maker seat. He waits not for the outstretched hand of God. But if he surrenders, then his ego will be hurt. Mother says, if you look carefully behind this idea that no, I don't want to surrender, it's nothing but ego. Ego individuality. Why should I surrender? Sri Aurobindo also looks like me. Technically, two eyes, two ears, one nose. This is the blind titan's outlook. So he doesn't want to surrender. Why should I surrender to mother? He got the supermind, I can also get it. Try it. Sri Aurobindo says everybody who tried it landed in a horrible copper. But one tries. So what is the right way? To stretch out from our side our hand and say, hold it mother. Pull me towards you. I cannot pull you, but you can pull me towards you. Maybe I cannot hold you, but you can hold me. I cannot walk the path, but you can carry me. Then the miracle and the marvel begins to reveal itself. Then all becomes magic and delight. One line in Savitri. All's here a miracle and can by miracle change. Then a prayer, a master act, a king idea can link man's strength to transcendence force. Then miracle is made the common rule. All he would make his own. Again, Titan's way. All he would make his own. Leave nothing free. Stretching his small self to cope with the infinite. Titan aggrandizes himself. Aggrandizes. Everything must follow this way. This is the way. Nothing else. And he wants to stamp his single will. Whereas God, he leaves people free. It's amazing the kind of freedom. I mean, it's a sign of Mother and Sri Aurobindo's Godhead. Somebody asked to one great yogi in Raman Ashram that in Sri Aurobindo Ashram we see so much freedom. Boys and girls mix freely. They play games. And what is, we don't find it anywhere else. Now this yogi sitting far off had the right answer. He said, you know why? Because Sri Aurobindo is God. He can afford to do it. What freedom he gave. Mother never wanted to give rules. He says, I don't like this term, rules. But I have to give it because nobody understands. With a ironic touch of humor, she puts it. It's there. You know, she says, but I am, then even about Auroville, she says, if I don't say anything, you know, they just become totally licentious. So I have to give some rules. So she gives some rules. Some rules, regulations. Why? Because she leaves each one free to follow the way and she carries through that law. She knows each one's law of evolution. But Titan doesn't like that. He wants to stamp his own method on all. Obstructing the gods' open ways, he makes his own estate of the earth's air and light. A monopolist of the world energy, he dominates the life of common men. His pain and others' pain he makes his means. On death and suffering he builds his throne. So there are other ways through which the Titan acts. He almost enjoys the pain of others. And he can use any amount of justification, including mother's work. Loves to give pain, loves to inflict suffering. This is a hallmark of the Titan. This is a perversity which feeds on that. And that's why the best way we can deal with such beings who love to give pain is to smile. That they don't know how to handle, because their food is gone. They want food. When people suffer, they feel fat. Now I have had my fill. But if you smile with the mother's light inside, then they are disarmed. They don't know what to do, because there is this trust in the divine. There is this smile of the divine. In the hurry and clangor of his acts of might, in a riot and excess of fame and shame, by his magnitudes of hate and violence, all the activists, they want to change things through this path. It's not the path of the gods. The path of the gods is changing from within outwards. And the path of the activist is imposing a rule, regulation and law and changing from outside. It will not last. Even if it changes, it will be collapsed, because human nature is the same. By his magnitudes of hate and violence, by the quaking of the world beneath his tread, he matches himself against the eternal's calm and feels in himself the greatness of a god. Power is his image of celestial self. So though they use very good names, I want to change these things. They are rotten, horrible. But what is he searching for? Power, wanton ambition. And that we have seen. Many such things come and go away, because deep inside, Sri Aurobindo speaks about many who came here like that. And he was asked that what happened to these people. He said perhaps they were impelled by the power. And therefore, when they got burnt, if we try to go to touch power, they're valid in their demand. But then you have to have tremendous purity and strength and that state of surrender. Otherwise one will get burnt. Whereas those who came with the idea of giving themselves, that mother, I want nothing but want to belong to you. That's all. But many lords come, but Titan comes for power, position, satisfy his lust, greed, any which way. And wherever he is, he will learn to, if nothing else, spiritual powers. Powers to do miracles. All this is the way of the Titan. Power is his image of celestial self. Power they worship. In last few lines, the Titan's heart is a sea of fire and force. What is missing there is joy. What is missing there is peace. What is missing there is sweetness. Even God has fire and force. But he has along with it tremendous peace. The greatest of great powers, the mother. There is a photograph of the mother with a baby. She is probably saying something to the baby. It's amazing. Her smile. Can we even imagine that? She is holding all the power in all the worlds, in the cells of her body. And yet she is receiving everybody with that love, with that sweetness, with that smile. Little power and human beings become, I have to be, respected like that, and don't. Even Sri Aurobindo, what tremendous humility. He was not meeting people for a different purpose. But look at the humility. Niruddha writes so beautifully that a letter had to be posted and he puts it in an envelope, or probably without the envelope, and lifts it and says, I suppose this has to be posted very impersonally. And he says a 100 hungry hands would grab at it. He had simply to say, just post it. I suppose this has to be posted. Can you do this? He's asking somebody if the fan is, can you do this? Of course, yes. This is the way true power is. But false power or little power or titanic power imposes itself, exercises itself like that. He exults in the death of things and ruin and fall. And eventually, it ends up doing that. He feeds his strength with his own and others' pain. In the world's pathos and passion, he takes delight. His pride, his might, calls for the struggle and pang. He glories in the sufferings of the flesh and covers the stigmata with the Stoic's name. So even sufferings of the flesh. So people wonder here that what kind of ashram is this? They have, you know, rooms, bathrooms, not only rooms, bathrooms, very clean rooms, and nice food, clean, hygienic, 3 times a day in the dining room, also at 4 o'clock tea and 10 o'clock soup, good dispensary, free modern medicines. What kind of ashram is this? Ashram means real difficult surrounding. There has to be some challenges, difficulties, some deprivation. Then it would be an ashram. That is Asurika ashramas. But the ashram of the gods, the Gurukuls, when you look at them, they are not like this. There is simplicity. It's not luxury, but everything that is needed is provided. Because that is not the path to deprive oneself, to suffer, sleep on a bed of nails. People worship, aha, great man. It's not a great man, most insensitive man. Stone can do this. Sleep on a bed of nails. We have not to become stones. We have to become luminous, calm, a heart full of love and sweetness, the delight of the gods. So we'll stop here, continue tomorrow.